to Ecclesiastes. Stand when you find it, Ecclesiastes. It's a blessing to see Brother Levi, Miss Stephanie this morning. Back from like a 2-week trip, but it's a blessing to see you this morning. Let's see, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Chapter 10. Our text is verse 11 through 14. And just follow along as I read these verses. Now, each one of these verses could stand alone, but I think as we read them, you'll see how they go together. Verse 11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? So obviously this morning we're going to be talking about the words that we say. And by the way, the words that we say make a difference in the lives of the people around us. So let's ask God to help us to have the right words. We'll pray one more time, and then we'll get into this. Father, we one more time ask your touch in our hearts and the lesson. Speak through your word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I was thinking about this, and I couldn't help but think it matters what we say. The things that we communicate, the way we talk, it matters what we say. So we want God to give us the right words because our words can be encouraging, can be strengthening, or they can be hurtful and detrimental in others' lives. We might think of ourselves as small, insignificant, not making a difference, but that's not true. Each and every person here this morning, God can use you. And by the way, He wants to use you. And the way He works through us often is the words that we say. And so we need God to help us, to give us the right words. God, I need words from you. God, I need you to show me how you want me to speak, what you want me to say. You know, I had a friend of mine, a very close friend, a loved one, as a matter of fact, who called me the other day and desired for me to give him some counsel of what I sensed or felt from the Word of God would apply to his situation. So you know what he called asking me to do? To give him words from God. That's what he was asking. Would you, from your perspective, knowing the details from this, you know, this need or this decision that needs to be made, I'm giving you these details, and from this perspective and with these details, tell me what you think God wants me to do. And so that's great responsibility, isn't it? You know, and by the way, it's not just great responsibility for the pastor, but it's great responsibility for all of us. Because God uses our words to help people to make decisions. And sometimes very important decisions in their life are made by what we say, and can I say, moms and dads, by what we don't say. And so we need God to guide us in our words. God, give me the words so I'll know what to say and how to say it. And it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. Our spirit. God, give me the right spirit when I say this. Sometimes we know what needs to be said, but it's not the right time to say it. Yeah. Amen. We need to be patient. We need to let God give us the words. We need to let God give us the spirit with those words. And we need to let God give us the timing for those words. Instead of getting on our bulldozer and just saying, I'm just going to make this happen. It needs to be done. I need to get this off my chest. And so we get on our bulldozer. And last time I checked, bulldozers don't build beautiful things. I mean, now, as a man, we would love to, you know, have a bulldozer and do the work of a bulldozer. To me, that sounds like a really fun task, especially if it's demolition of some kind of a structure or something. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. But our words can be like a bulldozer. So what we don't want to do is say the wrong thing in the wrong spirit or at the wrong time. So we need God to guide us in this. We need God to strengthen us and give us his wisdom. Now I want to show you a verse. Keep your finger here. We're only going to go to two passages in this sermon. One at the beginning, which is now Proverbs 25. Turn there. And then we're going to go to another passage at the end of this lesson. So keep your finger in Ecclesiastes. We're going to come right back here. Okay, so Proverbs 25. Let me show you a verse here. Proverbs 25. Just go back a few pages. The book of Proverbs right before Ecclesiastes in verse number 11 of chapter 25. If you're there, say amen. Look at the Bible says this. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So what Solomon is doing here is he's saying a word, he's describing the effect of a word fitly spoken. A word that's said, like everything we've just been describing, a word that's the right word and with the right spirit and at the right time. That is a word that is fitly spoken. What is that? It's beautiful, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. This is a beautiful thing, so it has a beautiful effect. It does a wonderful thing. You can come back to Ecclesiastes now. So what he's saying is this is an encouraging thing. It's a helpful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And this is what we want God to do with us. Can I tell you, if you don't seek the Lord with the word, if you don't seek the Lord in his leadership, in the words that you say, in the spirit you say it, in the timing you say it, we're going to get it all fouled up and messed up. And we're not going to be the help God wants us to be, because our words can either break down or they can build up. And the only one who can help us to know or to navigate through the difference of how each one of those things works, whether breaks down or builds up, is God. And so we need his guidance in our life. We need him to give us a word fitly spoken. God, give me a word fitly spoken at the right time and with all the right pieces so that it might be a help. Now, if you want to influence people, you want to have this kind of spirit and wisdom. Don't you? You want to help people? You want to be a guide in people's lives? Whether it's your coworkers, your family, the people around you in the church, then we're going to need God to give us the words to say, a word fitly spoken. And so that's what he gives us in our passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And so there's four ideas or four words that we need God to give us. Okay? So if you're taking notes, you can do this. Our first word is an encouraging word. And we'll see that in verse 11. Take a look at it with me. An encouraging word. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. So he's talking about a snake here. A snake that will bite who isn't being enchanted. The idea is a snake charmer, which you got to be crazy to do that. A missionary in Sri Lanka sent me a video that he was from a distance on his personal phone recording a snake charmer. A guy who was doing the flute, and this king cobra was in a basket and started popping out of this thing. I'm watching this, I'm thinking, you're not far enough away from this. You know? There's a kind of talent or, you know, craziness/talent to be able to accomplish that. The point that he's making here is a snake charmer doesn't do anybody any good after the snake bites you. When the snake bites you, oh, let me get my flute out. We'll charm the snake. No, it's too late now. I got bit. And the poison is having its effect. And so now we need to figure out how I won't die because of this. And you put the flute away, it's too late for that. And just like it's true for a snake charmer who really doesn't have an effect or a positive effect when the snake has already bitten, our mouths are like that. And so what he's saying, a babbler is this way. Somebody who talks and talks and talks, but he doesn't charm his words. He doesn't harness his words. And so because he's not being thoughtful and he's not harnessing his words, he says things that bite. And they inject poison into the people that he's biting. And once you do that, it's kind of too late to charm your words. That's the point. Oh, I didn't mean that. It's too late now. You said it with that spirit in this attitude and whatever it was that was said, and it was the wrong time or whatever the context was. But once the word is said, you can't not say that word. And so what he's saying is, before you say it, what you need to do is to harness your words. You need to charm your words. So the idea is, it needs to be in your mind and in your heart before you say things, what you want to accomplish with the words that you're saying. What do we want to accomplish? We want to be encouraging. We certainly don't want to inject poison in the people that we talk to. And so what we desire to do, on the contrast of hurting people or bringing that poison through our words to them in their, you know, whatever decision or spirit that they have, what we want is God to give us an encouraging word. And then I think we struggle with this sometimes. I think if we're honest about it, we struggle with being encouraging with our words. Sometimes we're so focused on how discouraged we are, we can't think about being an encouragement to somebody else. We're so focused on our state and whatever depression we might be dealing with that we don't have anything encouraging to say to somebody else. And we come to church, listen, we come to church and we come thinking, I need something to encourage me. Which, by the way, if you need to be encouraged, you're in a good spot. You know, because at the very least, when you hear the word of God, the Holy Ghost, he's the comforter, and he'll bring comfort to our soul. But often, when we come to church and we are in that state, and we are needing to be encouraged or comfort, depending on what we're going through in our life, we're focused on that, and we're not focused on being an encourager with our words. And so when somebody asks us how our day's going, then we'll tell them how bad it's going. Or how our week's going, we'll tell them how bad our week's going. And our focus is on what we need rather than how we can be an encouragement to other people. Listen, you want to be a help to somebody, Solomon is teaching us how to do it with our words. Like, well, it doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. It does matter if you come to church and you're not an encourager. Well, you know, it's not my gift. Hogwash. It's all of our gift. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives in us. He has comforted us. He has strengthened us. And because of the fruit of the Spirit, it just spills out through our spirit. Love, joy, peace. Let's just start there. God gives us peace. He makes us a peacemaker. He gives us joy. He makes us, or he uses us to bring joy to other people's lives. So let's not come to church and act like God can't use us to be an encourager. That's an excuse. It's an excuse for you and me to use that we won't stop thinking about where we are and what we need so that God can use us to be an encourager. If we don't harness our words, then what we'll do is we'll be a poison. By the way, when you speak words of discouragement, people aren't going to want to be around you. It isn't attractive. It's like, oh, you know what? I really want to be around this very discouraging person, you know? No, people don't want that. Not anybody wants that. You know, the only people who go around people, I might get in trouble with some of this. I don't know. I feel like I'm stepping on toes this morning. My own toes. The only time, Brother Vaught touched on it on Wednesday, by the way. The only time sometimes people in the church want to get around people who are discouraging and they're not encouraging, and they're always woe is me, is because they love Jesus, and they're getting around you because Jesus told them to. But not because they want to be around you. You see? So, it's an excuse in our life. If we're not an encourager, we're just using it as an excuse. Now, you know, it's my personality. That's an excuse. You know, I've had a rough week. That's an excuse. You know, gird yourself. Wash somebody's feet. Be an encourager. Be a servant. And God uses, it's amazing how our words affect people through encouragement. I want to keep going on and on that one, but we're going to be stuck on encouragement for a while. I will, just one more thing. Remember when you were really struggling and somebody encouraged you? You remember that? If you don't remember it, it's because you're not present. You're not with us. We've all been encouraged by somebody. Just the right time, just the right word, and with just the right spirit. I mean, that was just what I needed, and God knew it. They were where God wanted them to be. I was here, and we came together, and God did it, and He used their words to bring that encouragement. Here's what's amazing. God doesn't just do that with other people. He does it with you, and He wants to use you to be an encourager. So you have to decide, God, use me to be an encourager. Help me to have a word of encouragement. You know, to go to somebody and say, oh, I'm really proud of you. I mean, you've been faithful. I'm really thankful that God is working in your life. I mean to tell you, there's words that God can give you to encourage people. Let's ask God to help us with that. So number one, a word of encouragement. Number two, a kind word. Number two, a kind word. I wish my kids were in here for this one. Kind word. Verse number 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are, say that next word. Oh, goodness. That was terrible. Verse 12. Let's look at it again. The words of a wise man's mouth are what?
Gracious.
Man, gracious. But the lips of a fool swallow up himself. So you have a person who has gracious words, and then you have a person whose words swallow up. Now, a gracious word is a kind word. It's a forgiving word. It's not just encouraging, but you know, it's specific to the area of being kind, of being forgiving. On the flip side of that, somebody who has words that swallow up, it's somebody who has a critical word. Not kind. Not forgiving. Without that kind of a spirit. And so what God is teaching us this morning is the kind of words we should have shouldn't just be encouraging, but it should be kind. You know, sometimes it's hard to be kind. Sometimes it's hard just to say a kind word. To say a gracious word. Instead of a critical word. It's easy to be critical. I mean, just watch any of the political stuff that's happening right now. And all, by the way, let's not put our head in the ground like both sides don't have issues. I mean, we can have a critical word, and that's easy for us. It's not always easy for us to have a kind word or a gracious word. But you know, God uses gracious words. He uses kind words. Somebody who doesn't swallow up, but somebody who sees the positive things and has something kind to say. You know, I mentioned about my kids, and I was thinking about them last night. They were playing a game, or honestly, it's just all the time. I'm asking God to help me to be the dad God wants me to be, to teach my kids so they can be kind to each other. You know, I mean, let's learn how to be kind to each other. This is training 101. God uses our words. And how often, you know, somebody's hair is, you know, messed up. I mean, this is not good. I mean, your hair, you look like a pterodactyl. I mean, if you jumped off this platform, I think you'd fly a little bit, you know. Well, that's not very kind. I'm not thinking about anybody, by the way, but we need God to give us kind words. We can be critical. It's so easy to walk in and see problems. Both in the facility, I can't believe we did that, or I can't believe we do this, or pastor this, or whatever, in the critical words, or other people in the church, so-and-so this, so-and-so that, you know. Instead of having kind words or kind thoughts, you know, we have those thoughts that swallow up. You know, it makes a difference in people's lives when we have a kind word. And by the way, it starts in the heart, doesn't it? The things that come out of the mouth, by the way, that applies to all the things we're talking about. Jesus talked about it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? And so our heart, when you think in your heart, it's almost as though you're just saying the words. God knows the words, and it affects our spirit. And how can we help somebody if we can't have a kind word? God, give me a kind word. Give me a gracious word. Let's just talk about that word gracious. gracious. The opposite of gracious is being critical. It's being judgmental in a sense. Being focused on, you know, issues or problems. We need to be gracious. And people bother us, and the things that people do bother us. So how do we handle that? Well, with grace. God, give me a gracious word. And you know what? Sometimes it diffuses things. Like if somebody's having an issue with somebody else, and then you come in as a third party and you have gracious words, how it can diffuse problems between two people. God, give me a gracious word. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we just applied this thought to our life in the ministry of this church, so that we wouldn't be critical of each other naturally, but that we would be gracious towards each other? That we wouldn't see the bad in people, just the initial thing that we notice about people, that it wouldn't be the negative or the bad about them, that it would be gracious. So God uses us with our encouraging words and with our gracious words. Let's go on. Number three is verse 13. It's a mature word. A mature word. Verse 13. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. So now he's talking about the beginning. Okay, the beginning of the words of his mouth. Starts as foolishness. By the way, that word foolishness there has to do with just mindlessness or immaturity. But it doesn't, where it starts, it doesn't end. Starts with mindlessness, starts with immaturity, but where does it end? Verse 13. The end of his talk is mischievous madness. And so clearly, Solomon here is, in this dynamic of the words that we say, he's saying, your words set you on a process. Where you start isn't where you're going to finish, but where you start often determines where you're going to finish. You start with immaturity, but if you maintain on that same process or path, where will it lead you? Well, he says here, mischievous madness. That's where it's going to take you. Now, when I was in high school, there was a young man that I went to high school with that we had inappropriate conversations every day. And it was kind of a running joke. I remember we would go to school, I would see him, and it was always the same thing. This inappropriate comments or conversation. Immature. It was fleshly, it was wrong. Immature, high school. But what if now I'm at the age I am, not as old as Brother Larry, but getting close. Watch. And I'm still having those same conversations that I was having in high school, that we would look at and say, you know what? It's lustful. It's wrong. It's sinful. But you're in ninth grade. What may be a word we would describe somebody in that place is not just sinful, but immature, right? But when you're 40-something and you're having those same conversations and having those same comments and having those same words that you had in high school, but now you're in your 40s, you know, it's not immature anymore. It's madness. What it does is it drives you to a place where the activity of your life is associated to the words that you say. So it's not just lustful or inappropriate words, but watch this. It's a lifestyle. You've built it into your life. And so along the way, here's what God teaches us. When you're a child, you're immature and you speak as a child. But as you grow, what you must learn to do is to put away the childish things. Right. You know what? Listen, kids like to talk about video games and movies and gossip stuff. But at some point along the way, as God is working in our heart, there's a spiritual development that should take place. So that, watch this, the gossip begins to go away. The conversation isn't so much about movies all the time. And we're not, I mean, I'm in my 40s. Let's talk about video games. You see, at some point there ought to be a maturing that takes place. And God develops, He works in us, and He matures us. And you know how to help somebody? You want to help somebody? Talk about video games. No. You want to help somebody? Let's talk about the most recent movies. You want to help somebody? You need to put that stuff away, and we need to let God mature our words. If you neglect this, then what will happen is you'll start here with just mindless foolishness. But what it'll do is it'll lead you to mischievous madness. And you think, well, it won't affect me. It absolutely affects your words. Listen, adults, pretty sure all of us are adults, other than Asher. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. So watch this. Yeah, it's Sunday school. I'm down here. We must be preaching. Listen to this. Kids are in youth class over there, and they're in their Sunday school class over there. Do you know what? For some of you, these kids, how they view you, maybe you don't realize this, but they look up to you. Brother Jackson, when you lift your voice and pray, there is not anybody, and listen, I'm not trying to throw flowers at you, but I'm just trying to be real. When you pray and you lift your voice and you're in the Spirit, there is nobody in this auditorium who isn't touched by your words. Not anybody. We like to hear you pray. Okay? So, what does that mean? That means there are people in this church who look up to you. And there are kids who look up to you, both youth and over there. Do you want to help these kids? Then we need to ask God to help us to have mature words. God, give me mature words, so that I might help these kids to mature and to develop and to grow, so that along the way that they won't see me acting like them. They're a kid, I'm an adult. God, give me a mature word so that we might help them to develop in their maturity. This is helpful. Our words matter. Listen, your words matter. You can help people with your words if you let God season your words. God, give me the words. Give me the words. Help me to be mature. Is it okay to, you know, to talk about some things with kids and sort of rub shoulders with them? Of course it is. But along the way, what we need to do is help the kids to mature. And the way we do that is with the words that we say. God, give me. Here's what you need to do this morning. You need to ask God to give you an encouraging word. You need to ask God to give you a kind word, a gracious word, not a critical, sharp. It's easy to be sharp. What I mean by sharp is sarcastic or just, I don't really want to talk to you. No. That's the opposite of grace or kindness. God, give me an encouraging word. Give me a gracious word. Give me a mature word. And then last, number four, God, give me a humble word. Humble, verse 14. Look what it says. A fool also is full of words. Just think about that phrase right there. A fool, he's full of words. What's that mean? That means he knows how to talk and not stop. Can I say that again? He has a lot of words to say. But the problem with his words is he doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's read on. A man cannot tell what shall be. So we're talking, what he's doing is he's talking about something he doesn't know. He's talking about, he's saying lots of things about something he doesn't have knowledge and what shall be after him. In other words, he's predicting. Anyway, the point is he's full of words and he's talking about something he doesn't have knowledge, full knowledge about. And note the last phrase of verse 14 because it's the saddest part. Who can tell him? You know what that indicates? He won't be taught. So he knows everything and he's not going to be taught by anybody. And we've all had conversations with somebody along the way who seems to know everything and they're not going to be taught anything because they already know everything. I have friends in the past that, you know, you would have a conversation with them and you would speak to about a particular topic maybe you felt like you had not knowledge about, maybe experience with, and then they would just stop you, no. And then they would correct you because they have a kind of knowledge that apparently you don't have. You see? Or they would talk and talk and talk about something as an expert in something they're not an expert in. And they won't be taught. Let's just summarize this. They're prideful. This is a prideful person. And a prideful person speaks with pridefulness this way. They're not going to be a help to anybody. Why? Because they're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about all that they know and how all that they know affects their life. They're not thinking about helping people. And that, well, God needs to give us is the opposite of that. That we would be taught. If you come to church and your spirit is, I already know this, and I can't be taught, then you're a prideful person. Amen. And you're not going to have the words that you need to have. What we need is the opposite of this. Who can tell them? You know who can tell us if we're humble? Anybody who knows the Word of God and will teach us the Word of God and will guide us to God. Amen. And we'll let them. And we'll let God work in us. Why? Because we're humble. God, give me a humble word. Help me not to be one who goes about acting like an expert when I'm not an expert, but to be humble. And give me a humble word to somebody else. God will use you if you have that spirit. He'll use your words. And it's amazing how He uses us. He uses our words. I'm going to finish by saying this. God give me an encouraging word. God give me a kind or gracious word. Listen, God give me a mature word. God give me a humble word. And all of these things are individual things. God give me these things. And when you're open to let God give you these kinds of words, then you'll have an effect on somebody else. A positive effect. You'll be an encourager in somebody's life. You'll be a blessing. You'll help somebody along the way. Now I'm going to show you a scripture, and then I have one more thing I wanted to say to you, and then we'll be done. So go to Proverbs 25. You can lose your place here in Ecclesiastes. No, Proverbs 12. Not 25, we were in 25 first. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25, say amen if you're there. Amen. Okay, watch this verse. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So, with that in mind, and everything that we've said in mind, a good word makes a difference. God, there's power in a good word. That's our title of our lesson. We need to pray, God, give me a good word. Now watch this. This is where I'm going to finish. A good word will help somebody surrender to God. Remember, when you surrender to God, it's because a good word came your way. God used somebody to give you a good word. And then God used that to help you surrender. God can use us to give good words to people. And along the way, what those good words can do is help somebody surrender. Do you know that there are people all... Listen, you and I need to make decisions all the time. And sometimes life-changing, life-altering decisions, and that's just how it is. And we need God's wisdom. Amen. But think about this. That there along the way are people who need to make life-changing decisions. And what helps them get on the right path in their decision-making is a good word. And we can help people be wise in their decisions. Surrender to God. God can give us a good word, and it will help somebody else get their life on the right path. That's amazing how He uses us. But we need to ask Him, don't we? God, give me a good word. Would you give me a good word today?